Sachasavis Parachot Gimel Mishnah Aleph Shor Adam Mechaver Kadi Yayin Bekadi Shemit Ubovatzul Yermel Aveni. A person may borrow from his friend on Shabbos jars of wine or jars of oil, as long as when he borrows a jar, he doesn't use the term halveni. And there are two terms that are normally used with reference to a loan. One term is she'ela, and the other term is halva. The term she'ela is normally used when you borrow an item in which the same item will be returned to your friend, such as when you borrow a tool from your friend, you're going to return the same tool to your friend. As opposed to, in this case, when you're borrowing jars of wine or jars of oil, you're not going to be returning the same oil or wine that you borrow. So normally the term halva will be used. However, when you borrow the wine or oil on Shabbos, you're not allowed to use the term halva. Instead, you should use the term she'ela when you borrow the jars. The reason being is because when you use the term halva, when you borrow something from your friend, that allows you 30 days in which to repay it. As Chazal taught us, stam halva la midyom. When you borrow something and you use the term halva, you have 30 days to repay it. The lender cannot demand that you repay it within 30 days unless he specified otherwise at the time of the loan. And since you have 30 days in which to repay it normally, the loan will be written down on a document. And maybe by the end of 30 days, the loan will be forgotten. So the net lender normally insists that the loan be written down. So therefore, you should not use the term halva on Shabbos, and maybe you'll forget it Shabbos, and you'll end up writing down the terms of the loan on a document. So instead, you should use the term she'ela. And when you use the term she'ela, you don't have 30 days in which to repay it. The lender can demand that you repay it even within 30 days. So therefore, there's less need to write down the terms of the loan on a document, since the lender can demand that you repay it soon after he lent it to you. So on Shabbos, when you borrow something, you should always use the term she'ela, not the term halva. And so too, a woman may borrow from her friend on Shabbos loaves of bread. And again, she must use the term she'ela when she borrows the loaves. She would not be allowed to use the term halva. If somebody wants to borrow jars of wine or oil or loaves of bread on Shabbos, but the lender does not trust the borrower, you're not allowed to take it collateral and say, here's a mashkin for the loan. However, you can just simply leave your talis by the lender. And that talis will be a collateral. And since you didn't specify that the talis will be a collateral, you just simply brought the talis to him. That would be mutter on Shabbos. But I say, imo chesben l'achar Shabbos. And then after Shabbos, you would make a chesben with the lender. You would figure out after Shabbos exactly how much you owe him. And on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to figure out exactly how much you're going to owe the lender. As masa umatan is also on Shabbos, doing any kind of business dealing is forbidden on Shabbos. So even though Chazal allow you to borrow things on Shabbos that are needed for Shabbos, however, you shouldn't make a chesed exactly how much you're going to owe the lender on Shabbos. Instead, after Shabbos, you should figure out exactly how much you owe the lender. And so too, Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim that comes out on Shabbos during the times of the Beit HaMikdash, every single person needs to bring a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. And maybe some people do not have a chance to acquire the animal that they need for the Korban Pesach before Shabbos. So they have to acquire the animal on Shabbos itself. However, you're not allowed to do a business deal on Shabbos. You can't acquire something on Shabbos. Maniach taliso etzlo. Benoito et pizcho. You should go to the seller of the animal. And you shouldn't make a business deal with him. You shouldn't tell him how much you want to buy an animal for. Instead, you should simply give your talis to the seller and then take the animal you need for the Korban Pesach without specifying any type of purchase price. And then you would make a chesed with the seller after Yontif. After Yontif, you will go to the seller and he would tell you exactly how much you owe him, as you can't specify a purchase price on Shabbos itself. So instead, you have to leave the talis that you have by him as a collateral for the purchase, and only after Yontif would a purchase price be specified. And you can go ahead and be matzah the animal on Shabbos. And when you acquire the animal for the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, you first have to be matzah the animal. And when you bring a korban, you first have to be matzah the animal for that korban. If you bring an ola, you have to say, harei ze ola, this animal should be for an ola. So too, when you bring a Korban Pesach, you have to be matzah the animal by saying that this animal should be for a Korban Pesach. Now, even though normally you cannot be matzah an animal on Shabbos, the Chachamim have made a gzeira that you can't sanctify an animal on Shabbos. You can't say that this animal should be for a korban on Shabbos. And this is similar to doing a business deal on Shabbos. However, a korban that must be brought on that Shabbos, you are allowed to be makdish on Shabbos. This is called a chov shekavua lehem zman. A chov, a korban that you must bring that has a specific time in which it is to be brought. So the korban must be brought on that day. And the korban Pesach obviously must be brought on Erev Pesach. In such a case, the chachamim do allow you to be makdish the animal on Shabbos. So therefore, when you take the animal from the cellar, you should be makdish it and say that this animal should be for korban Pesach. And you would bring the korban Pesach on Shabbos. A person may count out orally on Shabbos the number of guests he has invited or the number of dishes he needs for those guests. However, he cannot read from a list on Shabbos. If he has a list in which he has written down the guests or the number of dishes that he needs, he cannot read from that list on Shabbos. The reason why he's not allowed to read from the guest list on Shabbos is because the chacham were afraid that maybe if he reads from the list, he will find that he has invited too many guests and he doesn't have enough food for them. And he might forget that it's Shabbos and erase some of the names from the list. And of course, erasing on Shabbos is forbidden. Another reason given for that which is forbidden to read from the guest list is because it's a gzeira that you might end up reading documents on Shabbos, which is forbidden. The only thing you should read on Shabbos is Torah Shabbat Ksah or Torah Shabbat Bad Wisdom of Fortune. You should not read other secular things on Shabbos, so therefore, the Chachamim says you should not read from the guest list on Shabbos, lest you end up reading from documents as well on Shabbos, which is forbidden. You're allowed to draw lots on Shabbos or Yontif with your son or family members on the table on Shabbos to see which member of the family gets which portion. Even if the portions are uneven, this would be mutter. And since family members are not makbid with each other, they don't care that one person will get a larger portion than the other, we would not be afraid that if we draw lots on Shabbos, maybe they'll end up measuring or weighing or counting out the portions, which is forbidden on Shabbos. Now the Mephoshim explained that this mission is chisuri master. It's missing a little piece, and it should read like this. That to draw lots with members of the same family is permitted on Shabbos, even if the portions are not even, since members of the same family are not makbid, that one person will get a larger portion than the other. However, to draw lots with people that are not members of the same family is forbidden on Shabbos and Yontif, whether the portions are even or not. Because since they're not from the same family, they would be makbid that one person will get a larger portion than the other, and if they draw lots, they might end up weighing out or measuring or counting out the portions, which is forbidden on Shabbos. Now, to draw lots during the week is permitted as long as the portions are basically the same size. However, if the portions are not the same size, you cannot draw lots on those portions even during the week. And since one person is getting a larger portion than the other, this is regarded as kuvia, a form of gambling, and it's forbidden to gamble even during the week. As gambling is usher because it's considered an asmachta. An asmachta means that the gambler is being sumach on the fact that he thinks he will win. He's gambling because he plans on winning. If he knew he would lose, he would not gamble. And we have a cloud that asmachta lo kanya, that the winner is not kona the portion of the loser, as the loser is not giving up his portion with a full heart. So therefore, when the winner takes the larger portion, he is stealing the portion from the loser. Umakilin chalashim al-kashim b'yantiv avolo al-aman. The kohanim are allowed to draw lots on the portions from the korbanos that are brought on Yontif. And even though you're not allowed to draw lots on Yontif, however, since it's a mitzvah to eat from the korbanos and chaviva mitzvah b'shaita is a very precious mitzvah, since it's a mitzvah b'shaita, it's a mitzvah that's done on that day, so the chachamim will allow you to draw lots on Yontif, since you're drawing lots for the mitzvah of eating from the korbanos. However, you cannot draw lots on the manos, on the portion from the korbanos that were brought before Yontif. If korbanos were brought before Yontif, and now they want to draw lots on Yontif to see which coin is Zocha and which portion, that would be forbidden. And they could have drawn the lots before Yontif, and now that they waited until Yontif, Chacham will not allow them to draw lots on Yontif.